If you were fortunate enough to have been in the assembly when Dale led the congregation in prayer, you know what beautiful and heartfelt prayers he had for us. So it's very appropriate that we begin our time here today in prayer, seek the Father's blessing for our time together today. If you would bow with me in prayer, please. Our God and Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer and petitions, knowing that you hear us, that you care for us, and that you love us. We thank you for the blessing of salvation through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, that which unites us all in our goal of eternal life. As we are gathered here today to remember and honor our dear brother Dale, we ask your blessing on our assembly. We pray that your comfort, as only you can, that you would comfort the hearts of all of the family in their time of sorrow and separation. And comfort also, Father, in knowing that all who keep the faith, finish the course, and love his appearing, as we believe Dale did, we'll all be united again someday. So help us all to finish the course. For all of us who remain, we pray that we love you more, that we obey you completely, that we love each other more, and as your Apostle Paul said, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Let us follow the example of Dale as he followed Christ. Bless our time of remembering today and comfort the hearts of all of us who love Dale as a brother in Christ, a godly example, and a faithful servant. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Mediator, our Advocate. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Charles Dale Harrington, 80 years of age of Lee Summit, passed from this life to eternity on Monday, November 29th, 2021, from complications brought on by COVID-19. Just like he dealt with all experiences in life, Dale battled serious medical issues in recent years with strength and grace and stayed strong until the end. He wanted to spend as much time with his loved ones as possible. And on his final day, he was surrounded by his wife and children, whom he adored more than anything else in the world. His devotion to his family and his firm belief in God supported him in his struggle and ultimately gave him his peace. Dale was born July 17, 1941, to Albert and Anna Harrington in Kansas City. After graduating from Southeast High School in 1959, he enlisted in the United States Army and was happy to serve his country for 4 years. In February 1969, he married the love of his life, Wiley, and they had 2 children, Kimberly and Jason. Dale was a soil technician at Lane Western in Kansas City for 29 years, before moving to Las Vegas to run the soil testing lab for the Nevada test site. Once retired, it was back to Kansas City for him and his family. Dale's Christian faith was an essential part of his life, and he was an active member here at the Gregory Boulevard Church of Christ. Additionally, he enjoyed woodworking, traveling in his motorhome, and most recently, fixing up the farm. Anybody that knew Dale was touched by his kindness, his humor, and his mild temperament. He was truly a peacemaker and always a source of positivity. He touched the lives of many throughout his lifetime. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Hebrews 13, verse 14. Dale is survived by his loving wife of 52 years, Wylene, their daughter Kimberly Janes and her husband Jeff, their son Jason Harrington and his wife Jessica, and the grandchildren, Mason, Jordan, Madison, Brooklyn, Hudson, and Savannah. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I remember young Wiley, about 1973, consistently bringing her little children to the assemblies here without her husband. After some time, Lynn and I were invited to a meal at the Harrington home over on Ford, where so many of you have been. And that's where we met Dale. Dale was immediately interested in discussing spiritual things. He believed in God. He believed that the Bible is God's word. He believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We talked about the purpose of congregational membership and meeting together with other Christians. We talked about baptism for the remission of sins. I think Lynn and Wiley and the kids went somewhere for a while. And when they got back, our discussion was still ongoing. And at some quiet point, Lynn pointed out that God knew we needed a spiritual family to be a support group, to encourage, edify, and engage us throughout our life on earth. Like-minded believers interested in the truth of God's word. This is the church, those who are grateful for God's grace and who want to obey him. Dale and Wiley became our precious lifelong friends, and we spent so many happy hours together. I never had a brother, but I had one in Dale. And he always said that what Lynn said to him that first night resonated with him. Forever after that, he called her his angel because she was the messenger through whom God's truth came to him. And at some point, he was baptized for the remission of his sins. Dale's was a striking and a true conversion to Christ. He made meeting with the church one of his top priorities in life, and he developed an insatiable appetite for the Bible. He went to lots of week-long Bible studies at 25th and Oakley. And by the way, while he was over there, he found Rita Miners, who he had graduated from high school with. And they were both there at the same time, reuniting their acquaintance. He studied the book of Revelation up at Clay Como. He studied with us here, upstairs and down, and there were lots of home Bible studies as well. I distinctly remember being in the house on Ford one night when Dale had one of his friends there, and he and this friend were engaged in a discussion not unlike the one Dale and I had had originally, but this time it was Dale showing his friend the truth of the Bible. In 1977, Lynn and I traveled to Colorado with Dale and Wiley in their van. Dale had built bunk beds into the back of the van, and we slept in those through that trip. It was an amazing time. The food cooked over the open fires was unforgettable, and we attended a weekend meeting together at the church in Greeley, Colorado. I think the last night of that trip we ate at Casa Bonita on Colfax in Denver, the main east-west thoroughfare through Denver, big Mexican restaurant, Casa Bonita. And after we left, we'd been driving a while. Did we stop for gas? And Dale figured out that his billfold was missing. So we drove all the way back to Casa Bonita, and there was his billfold laying in the parking lot, perfectly fine. Nobody else had apparently seen it. Dale was a man of sterling character and tremendous integrity. He was a hard worker who would attempt anything that needed to be done, and he would help anybody. He served this congregation as a deacon before he went to Las Vegas and as an elder after he came back. I also witnessed firsthand his helping of congregations in the Las Vegas area while they lived out there. After his retirement, Dale became even more of a reader, and he delved especially into the history of the church to get a perspective on the church today. Jordan said that Dale was a strong male role model for her and taught her so much about fixing things, about patience, about values, and about work ethic. She said he was the best advice giver and the best helper. He was always available for anything. He loved traveling, especially in the RV, Branson, California, New York, Washington, D.C., Sedona, SeaWorld, Disneyland. It's a long list. Jordan said that he always had breath mints with him, as well as a pocket knife and a handkerchief and his change holder. And those things are downstairs in his house now. One of the staples in their home was playing cards together, and bonds were forged in that way. Maddie made a desk in the shop with him. They made it together from scratch. Everybody remembers the card playing and the four-wheeler rides and spending the night at Grandma and Grandpa's and sharing mints and the good jokes and Dale's wonderful sense of humor. Jason remembers as a small boy driving up to Grandma Melba's in Iowa, and Dale would let him sit on his lap and steer the vehicle. Dale would allow him to veer off to the side to some extent before taking control and correcting, so that by being allowed to veer off, Jason could learn to drive within the lines. Jason remembers that Dale would never give up on a project. When many would throw their hands up and walk away, Dale would always keep going to figure out a way to get it done. He was incredibly selfless and would sacrifice his time for anyone. He was a very positive person. He was a calm, sensible man who would admit when he was wrong. Jason said of the recent purchase of the farm that it was such a blessing, in that it brought them even closer together than they were before, as they spent countless hours side by side, chopping wood, planning the layout of buildings, and pulling out concrete fence posts and everything in between. He was just an honest and reliable friend who got along with just about everybody. Jason said he loved listening to his dad's stories of when he was young. And Jason also said, and I quote, that his dad taught me the power and importance of Jesus by his example through my wonderful 49 years with him. To the end, he was secure in his faith and trust in Jesus. Wiley said throughout all these health troubles, he never complained. And a wife would know. In intensive care, he talked about all the good times we'd had. He talked about our spiritual discussions from all those years ago. And when he knew that his time was up in intensive care, he was surrounded by his family. He took 3 bites of chocolate ice cream, gave 2 thumbs up, and left for the next world. He died in the triumph of a living faith in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I agree with what Bill said in his prayer. If everybody decided today to follow the example of Dale Harrington, this old world would be a wonderful place tomorrow. Dale will be missed unspeakably by his family. He will be sorely missed here in this congregation where he has meant so much to so many for so long, and where he has served as such an integral and steadfast person. But we know where he is, and we hope to meet him there, following him as he followed Christ. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not.
if you ever were in the assembly when Dale would lead us in prayer or reading or the Lord's table or giving a lesson, you would recognize what I'm going to say next. Good morning, church. Practically every time. The songs that we have, I knew I would do it. I have too many pockets and I lost my pitch fight. Are songs that, I have it, thank you. Are so much like Dale. When he would talk about during the Lord's Supper, you could tell that the cross and Jesus, who is willing to go there for the forgiveness of our sins, meant so much to him. And God's family, that's what we were to him, as much as flesh and blood could bind two people together. We were his spiritual family. And he cared for us. He loved for us. He always knew if something was going on that was hard, he would be interested and have words of comfort. And what a day that will be. He would tell you that. And he looked forward to it. As I texted him a few times in the last week, that's what we talked about. What lies ahead for those who believe in Christ. Dale really valued the fellowship of the saints as well as many of you valued his fellowship. Dale often told me that the fellowship that some of us at Gregory showed him was what first drew him to us. I remember when we at Gregory first met the Harringtons, as was mentioned, Wiley and two small children. Dale was not a believer in that. People like the Brewers and a lot of the members just really embraced them with love and friendship. Dale often told me, and I will just mention the folks that he mentioned to me, that if it were not for the fellowship of folks like Charlie and Irma, Rick and Lynn, John and Donna, Dan and Gaylene, Brenda, the Brewers, and myself, he wouldn't have begun the study of the Bible, which led him to become a believer and then a Christian. Dale was convinced of the divine inspiration of the Bible. He believed the teaching of Jesus and the writers of the New Testament. And he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And he became a Christian and he never looked back. And as it was mentioned by Rick, hours and hours and days and weeks, he studied. He knew the Word. Dale and his family spent untold hours and hours not only in worship, but in studying and sharing their home, their food, it games, and in just good old wholesome fun. It has been a blessing to Cindy and I know so many of you. I do not believe I have met anyone quite like Dale. When he was finally convinced, convicted, and converted, took on the mantle of Christ so willingly, so openly, so completely, as did Dale. Cindy and I were in Wiley's home Thursday. We had to clear off the table. On her table was an open Bible and a notebook and a pencil. That's what Wiley and Dale did for hours and hours, days and days and years and years. It was phenomenal to me. The change was so dramatic in Dale and so wonderful to see. Cindy and I have enjoyed the fellowship in Dale and Wiley, and it has been wonderful. And you know what? I'm looking for more. More to come. This is not the end, folks. We're just stepping through the threshold of another dimension. I like the word passing. That's what we're doing. We're passing through to an everlasting, eternal kingdom of light and happiness and joy and, I believe, adventure as we have never known before. I look forward to that again. One of the very enjoyable times we had with Dale and Wiley was our cruise to Alaska. We shared a cabin. You want to talk about adventure? We had complaining neighbors. What is going on over there? Of course, that was David and Barbara and Reagan. You'll have to ask Wiley how a trundle bed works. We had so much fun. Those times will remain with me forever. Dale and I could really make each of us bust the gut laughing. And I mean it. Serious pain. Usually it was over some real funny joke or story that I told. I can still hear him. As a young married man with families, Dale and I worked hard. We laughed hard. A few times we cut firewood. Remember that, Jason? Kyle and Jason and Dale and I filling up a bed. Usually we did it on the right piece of property. But not that day. Dale loved people. He was so proud of his family. He loved you guys. Always talked about you, and I always enjoyed hearing about you. And his grandchildren, so precious to him. As many of you, I love Dale. And I say that in the present tense because he is alive. God is not the living, God of the dead, but the living. That's what Jesus said. And a believer in Christ, a Christian, does not truly die. We just pass on to eternity, eternal life in heaven. But a huge hole has been left in my life, and I know a bigger one in yours. First with the passing of Tom, and now Dell. Tom's passing was sudden and unexpected to me, and I was in shock. But Dale's passing was a long time coming, and finally, I expected it, and I grieved. He gave us a wonderful blessing in that he began to recover before he got worse. And as for me, I had time to accept it. I wasn't ready to let my friend go. But after a week of thinking about it, you know, his body was wore out. He was uncomfortable with his body. And he was ready to go. Before he left, he gave you folks such a wonderful, wonderful legacy. He gave us a wonderful, wonderful legacy. Tom and Dale are together in paradise as we speak. Wiley, you had a wonderful man for a husband. Jason and Kim, you had a wonderful, wonderful father. Wonderful man as a father. Your children had a wonderful grandfather, Papa. And we all had a wonderful friend and brother. One of Dale's last admonitions to his loved ones was to do whatever it takes to reach heaven. He showed you the way, he showed us the way, and he wants us all to be together again forever in heaven.
There are times when the clarion call is silence. And yet here we find ourselves talking. Solomon wrote, "A man who has friends must make himself friendly." Dale had friends because Dale was friendly. I've been blessed with hundreds of friends, and so have many of you. I sometimes think I have more friends than I know what to do with. But my plate for close friends is very small. No, it's a saucer. But Dale Harrington was on that saucer. He told me that many people influenced his coming to Christ, but it was a sermon in this building by James Basinger that finally tilted him in an eternal direction. I can't tell you when I first met him because I don't remember, but I can tell you when I first recalled him. It was in the room in the back of this building behind the glass, when six of us assembled after he had been converted and on numerous times had a Bible study. Five of those six people are here this morning. And maybe in some way Dale is too. But that started for me an eternal friendship that didn't end this week, because it's eternal. We, like many others, took some family trips with Dale and Wiley. There aren't many families I'd want to take a trip with. In fact, I can only think of three families Donna and I have ever done that with. Dale and Wiley were certainly one of those three. The kids were young. The laughs around the table. But there were some times around the table where it was stressful. Things were hard. Dealing with issues. But mostly they were blessed times. People will forget what we say. People will forget what we do. But they never forget how they make us feel. And Dale Harrington made me feel good. Before Dale became a Christian, Wiley spoke one time and said, "I don't know how he could be a better husband, a father, and a man." I thought, sure. And then I met Dale, and I knew exactly what she meant. But his coming to the Lord made him complete. But the reality of it is that a death has occurred. And nothing we say or do is ever going to change that. It'll never be the same. Birthdays, Father's Day, anniversaries, having him greet you at the door of the church, it won't be the same. But yet it shouldn't be the same. If it were the same, it would not speak well of the value of our loss. We can lose a trinket with little thought. But you can't lose a treasure without thought. And we have lost a treasure. Dale exceeded his 70, and yet our humanness longs for more. Maybe just a tinge of selfishness on our part, if our faith tells us he's in a place far, far better than he has ever been. But sometimes we never fully realize the value of something until it becomes a memory. I believe grief really never ends, but it does change. Grief is a passage, not a place to stay. Grief is not a sign of weakness, nor is it a sign of a lack of faith. It is simply the price we pay for love. And life without love is really not life, is it? Those we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day, unseen, unheard, but always near, still loved, still missed, but very near. I'm standing behind what you might call Dale Harrington's casket. But I don't think that's the way to describe it. I'm standing behind Dale Harrington's hope chest because it contains, symbolically in our sight, the hopes that this man had, not simply for his fellowship with us, which he treasured, but his fellowship with the Lord, and then hopefully with us again when it's our time to be reclined in our hope chest. Most people are buried in a casket. God's people are buried in a hope chest. When I heard of his death, the thought came to me that always comes to me when I hear of a death. What are they doing now. I have an insatiable curiosity that can't be answered this side of Jordan. But I also have a deep faith for those few glimpses the Scripture gives it. Sometimes we don't realize how precious something is until they become a memory. And Dale left us with a wonderful memory. And he left us with many wonderful memories. I've chosen this morning not to go down through all of my memories of him, because you have your own private memories of him that we can cherish in coming days. And I believe God gives us memories so that we'll be able to have roses in the winter. And this winter will blossom well if we cherish those memories. I did not come here today to say goodbye to Dale Harrington. I came here today to say, Dale, I'll see you soon.
The Lord has his soul, but we have him in our heart. Until that day that we are reunited, and what a day that will be.
What a day. You pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this remembrance of Brother Dale's life, we are reminded that it is appointed that we are to die, and then to be called forth from the grave with the sound of the trumpet to meet Jesus in the sky. And that Brother Dale will be among the first group to leave paradise with those of like precious faith. We pray that the church family and the family will take comfort in the fact that Dale's life has not ended, but has just begun. On this day, we weep with tears for Dale, but one day we will remember him with smiles. We can all be grateful for the example Dale set for all to see as he walked righteously all the days of his life on the earth. In Dale's life, we could see that there was confidence that Jesus was the resurrection and the life, and though he would die, that he would live again forever and ever. We can be grateful that Dale let his light shine, that he walked without fear, because you wrote in your book to him and us, and told him that he was precious to you. Help us to understand that it is you, Lord, that determines our seasons and our days on this earth, and that it is you, Lord, that called Dale home. And we rejoice that Dale achieved the most important purpose in life of remaining faithful to you, Lord, until his death. The story of Dale's life here on earth has been written. As we say goodbye, may we remember the good works he did and the positive influence he made. We can bring our brother Dale into your loving arms. By your grace, may we have fellowship again in the new home that you prepared for those who love you. Help us to remember that you've told us in your word that it is far better to die, because to die is gain. For we will be with you always. We pray your blessing on Wiley as she adjusts to life without Dale. May Dale's children and grandchildren benefit from his love for them and the example that he has provided for them. Lord, each of us here today were touched in some way by the life of Dale Harrington, and we will remember him fondly. Lord, have mercy on us all as we commend Brother Dale into your loving care. In Jesus' name, amen.